Show, 93.5, 95.3, The New Connect FM. It is August 17th, 3:23. Almost 3:23. Your official time. We're on until 5:10 today. Those St. Louis Cardinals, oh my, those St. Louis Cardinals.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, please, let's worry about that later.
But there's a bigger story going around in sports, and it's affecting Missouri.
Yes, not the state necessarily, but the state school.
Right.
And that's the University of Missouri, and Stephen Walensek from the Columbia Daily Tribune joins us. And Stephen, we are bringing you on today for the reason of this whole mess also involves some basketball news, and that is Frank Haith, who was the coach at Miami. Now the coach at Missouri. I mean, it's been a crazy day for you, I bet.
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, things kind of started really yesterday evening. Just I think before 5 o'clock is when Yahoo posted their huge expose about Miami, which I guess is 11 months in the making. Mm. And yeah, for people around here, the nugget of information that was most interesting was that. It's alleged that Frank Haith was aware of and acknowledged and, I guess, suggested he was grateful for a payment of $10,000 from a booster to somebody close to Daquan Jones, a highly regarded recruit when he signed with Miami from Georgia. And that gets your attention when you see that.
Well, Stephen, I know when you joined us last spring, when Frank Haith was hired, you know, Matt Painter's name was bandied about, and I think Mizzou fans got their hearts set on him. Also, when Frank Haith was hired, people were like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he comes from Miami that doesn't have a great basketball program. But now that this has happened, I'm betting that Missouri fans are, their teeth are showing right now about Frank Haith.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much accurate. You know, this is a hire that it took a lot of people a while to just accept, much less really like or be comfortable with. I think there were people obviously when the initial announcement was made who wanted the board of curators to step in and prevent the hiring from going through and all these things. And obviously what had people most upset was they looked at Frank Haith's record, and it was not very good at Miami, particularly in conference play. He was 26 games under 500 in ACC play. And then kind of the way Missouri sold him was he's a high character guy who didn't do well at a tough place to win, but he's going to do better and he's going to do things the right way. And then you have these allegations that make you do a double take and say, is he really this high character guy? Do we know? And what should Missouri have known before? I think people are asking that question. Right or wrong, so it's really had I think people in the athletic department blindsided and not sure what to do next.
Talking with Stephen Walensek from the Columbia Daily Tribune about the allegations and the Yahoo Sports report involving Miami about former Miami basketball coach Frank Haith and now the Missouri coach allegedly paying for a recruit, at least knowing that a booster paid for a recruit. And another thing, when you talked about high character, that this coach, I know he's a grown man, he can do what he wants on his own time, but Shapiro, Evan Shapiro, the guy that's the booster that's doing all this, said he had personal nights at Solid Gold, a strip club, with his assistant Jake Morton. This just isn't painting Haith's character very well, and I know he came out with a statement, but it's pretty vanilla about what he said, isn't it?
Yeah, the statement was very vague. I think he didn't really take on any specific allegation. He kind of said, I'm not really at liberty to say much because of the NCAA, and hid behind that. And, you know, that you would think that if a guy were completely in the clear, he would come out guns blazing and sabers rattling and, you know, make it an adamant statement that he had nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. And you didn't read that statement and think that. So it makes you wonder. I mean, we don't know what he did or didn't do. We might not have an answer to that for months, if not a year or more, because the NCAA doesn't tend to move quickly on these things. And what's more, you're talking about a case that has, if we're to believe the Yahoo report, thousands of allegations of impropriety. That's going to take a while to sift through.
And Stephen, what I mean, it seems like cash was involved with this paying for this Daquan Jones to get him into school, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of hard evidence besides the hearsay that Shapiro's saying. It seems like the NCAA might have a hard time of getting Frank Haith on these things, and that's probably why a vanilla statement, like you said, might be his best defense, just to keep it vanilla and say, hey, they got to prove this, and I'm complying with them, and I'm doing everything I can do.
I think that's absolutely right. And if you look at a lot of the other allegations that came out in the piece with regard to football players and things like that, impermissible benefits given to football players, it seemed like there was a lot more of a paper trail tying these guys to these things. This case is an instance where an assistant coach apparently got a payout from Nevin Shapiro to give to somebody close to Daquan Jones. We don't know who that is. He says that Daquan Jones himself didn't even know about the payment. And so that by saying that, that just takes out one more person who could have been a witness to this. Makes it that much harder to kind of pin down Haith and connect him to it, or even the assistant coach, Jake Morton.
Visiting with Stephen Walensak from the Columbia Daily Tribune in Columbia, Missouri. So, Stephen, I guess my question now is, even though Missouri honestly didn't do anything wrong, obviously, except hire maybe a guy that is involved in something this bad, what can Missouri do? Is there anything they can kind of do at this point to kind of help out things?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know that anyone knows the answer to that right now, and that's really the pickle that they're in. They can't take swift action and cut ties with Frank Haith because they have no evidence that he did anything wrong, and all they do by doing that is possibly subjecting themselves to a lawsuit.
Right.
On the other hand, if they sit there and stand by him and let him continue to coach, every other coach in the country who's interested in a player that Missouri's targeting on the recruiting trail is going to hold that against them. And this is at a point where Missouri's program is at a really crucial moment right now, because it's got 8 scholarships available for next year's team and starting in 2012. And if you look at the roster that they're going to have coming back that season, they've only got one player out of 5 coming back who's taller than 6'5". They're not in a real good spot. It's not the fault of this current coaching staff. It's actually the fault of Mike Anderson's staff that they didn't do a better job of kind of building off of the success that they had in the middle of his tenure. But this isn't going to help them land the kind of talent that they're going to need to bring in to keep this run of NCAA tournament appearances going.
Wrapping up with Stephen Walensak from the Columbia Daily Tribune. You know, Stephen, for 10 years, I was in the TV sports business as a sports anchor, and I reported on, not things like this, but I reported on stuff like this. I can only imagine, Stephen, when you woke up this morning, how in the world am I going to attack this thing? I mean, has it just been like that all day, trying to figure out which angle am I going with this story?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think the interesting part about Missouri's role in this, and therefore the part that I'm interested in, is nobody's alleging that they did anything wrong. It's just one guy who they hired after the fact. It's hard to get at that. You know, as we talk about now, there aren't a whole lot of incident or witnesses to the alleged incident, the alleged impropriety. So you don't really know what direction to go or who to call or what steps to take.
Well, Stephen, I got 2 questions, not about this. It's more about Mizzou, the Big 12, you know, with Texas A&M seeking out the SEC. What's been the reaction down there in Columbia? Do they feel like they're going to be in the Big 12 in 2-3 years?
You know, I don't know that anybody would venture to guess it at a time frame that long. And that's pretty telling, is that's where this thing is. You know, nobody knows what the future holds for this conference, but it's hard to say that anything definitive about it, that it's going to be around. I think fan reaction to the rumored move to the SEC that came out late last week and was talked about all weekend, with excitement, but I think people inside the athletic department, people at the university, had a different reaction. I don't think Missouri people are really dying to make a jump to the SEC for a number of reasons, athletically, academically, all those things. I think they kind of would take the status quo for the time being. I think things settled down after last year, and I think they're happier in the Big 12, maybe not perfectly content, but willing to stick it out. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, if this thing really goes up in smoke and everyone's talking about the inevitable formation of four super conferences, I don't think Missouri would want to end up in the SEC. I still think their goal would be to get to the Big Ten. Whether or not they'll ever have that opportunity, we have no way of knowing.
Sure. Well, Illinois is going to see Missouri regardless on December 22nd, at least basketball this year. And they return a lot. What's the team looked like? I know Marcus Denman's back, Lawrence Bowers, Keem English. I mean, this senior class is loaded, and it looks like Missouri is going to be good again.
Yeah, you know, they should have a good year. They've got a lot of talent coming back. It's going to be interesting to see because I think they had some chemistry problems towards the end of last year. They did not finish well. They never really became a very good defensive team. And whoever the coach is, and for now we'll assume it's Frank Haith, is going to have to do a pretty good job of getting these guys invested at the defensive end because they do have some offensive talent, but they couldn't stop anybody last year, and that was evident particularly late in the season when they really just did not finish well at all.
Steven Walensek, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
No, we really appreciate it. Steven Walensek from the Columbia Daily Tribune joining us, talking about this whole mess that you just wonder, is this going to creep in somehow to this Missouri thing in Frank Haith? Now, obviously, Missouri did nothing wrong.
Well, the thing they did wrong is they obviously didn't know about this.
Right,
they didn't know about the allegations.
They're kind of guilty by association.
Well, and when you're looking for a coach, when you're researching who you want to get as a coach, you kind of got to dig into every little crevice.
Sure.
And I guess you can't sometimes, but you figure if you ask around about them and about this booster, because I think this Ponzi scheme was coming out last year. I mean, the NCAA was investigating about 6-7 months ago, which is right about when Missouri was coming in. Well, I guess it was before Missouri was looking into their coach. So, I mean, maybe they could have done a little more homework. But, yeah, now they're in a tough spot because they can't do anything with him.
Right.
They can't fire him without cause. And right now there's no proof that this happened, just allegations right now.
And basically, again, to wrap it up, Miami booster Nevin Shapiro is claiming that Frank Haith, who's now the head basketball coach at Missouri, had knowledge of a $10,000 payment that a booster, which I assume is Shapiro, right, made to secure the commitment of a basketball recruit by the name of Daquan Jones, and he gave the money to an assistant coach, Jake Morton. But they're saying that Haith knew all about this, and that's why this is coming out. That's why we're kind of bringing up the Missouri angle on this thing.
I am so sick of talking about this stuff.
It's crazy.
I mean, this is something I want to talk about because this is unbelievable, but this is just further proof that the NCAA can't police this.
They can't.
They can't police the rules that they have right now, and you wonder how we've talked about this before with Ohio State. How do you change? I mean, as an NCAA, we heard from Jim Delaney at the Big Ten meeting say, our system right now is broken. We're stuck in the 50s and 60s. We need to get into the new millennium. We need to get in the new century. And you wonder, how do they do that?
Yeah.
I mean, do you pay these players more with the cost, full cost of attendance? But still, I think kids are going to get out there and get what they can earn on the black market. I mean, this isn't we try to make it amateur sports, but when people are willing to pay it, it's not.
Well, and I'm sorry, but it all comes down to trust and honesty, and it's not happening. It's not happening all around, and I don't know what you can do to stop that. I don't know if you're the NCAA. I have no answers. Maybe our listeners have answers to this. 359-2255, 359-2255. I was about ready to say Miles Brand. Bless his heart. He's no longer, of course, with us, and he was the president of the NCAA. Now it's Mark Emmerich. What would you do if you were him? What would you do right now? How do you stem this thing?
Yeah, how would you change the system? I mean, do you just go out and you have a pay scale for players, or do you just really ridiculously enforce this and get a task force of thousands of people who monitor these things? It's hard.
It really
is. Compliance people have a hard time with this, but some schools look the other way, others don't. 359-2255, 217-359-2255.
All I know is more and more are getting in trouble. So obviously, things like Yahoo, I mean, you know, it's so out there right now, the media, with this social media and everything. Everything's out there now. So I would think even now it would be harder to hide stuff like it was 20 years ago.
Well, the thing is, it's good that people like Charles Robinson are out there working into this. You know, journalism, it does survive. I know newspapers are struggling. A lot of journalists are struggling out there right now, but it's great that, somebody out there is investigating this stuff, and some company out there, a news media organization, is spending the money to investigate this kind of thing.
Completely agree. We got to take a break. We're heavy on a break. We want to remind you, in the 4 o'clock hour, B.J. Luke, the Danville football coach, is going to join us. They have had an unbelievable run in Danville, and B.J. Luke is going to join us at the top of the hour. I look forward to that. I've never visited with Coach Luke, so look forward to that. We're also going to talk a little bit today about Illini football. I think I'm going to try to make it over to Camp Rantoul tonight. I'm pretty excited about that. Okay, you were there this morning, and we'll talk about that. And we'll also, if we have to, talk about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, did Garrett Jones just end their season last night? 359-2255, Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.